Good morning, my radio and television audience. I'm going to start off with the housekeeping that's dealing with SBFM radio as well as BBS radio. I come on for those, this is for my television audience, I come on Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. to 10:55 a.m. You'll have to go to bbsradio.com, station 1, during those times in order to participate in the radio. Now, I've been advertising the radio since I started over the television, so I'm hoping that I will be able to continue to be a radio talk show host, but we're going to need your support. Well, anyway, before I go any further on that, I think I need to talk about some issues that we have in the world, and we do have a mess going on here. I don't know how many wars the United States is in. I've gotten confused. And I don't know what's going to happen, but what I do know what better not happen is our country shouldn't be perceived as being so weak that we could be attacked coming from all angles from a lot of whole bunch of people, you know, because we're dealing with a lot of different countries. And I'm worried about Russia, I'm worried about China, I'm worried about North Korea, I'm worried about all of the people that are having problems in this world. I'm worried about all of them because don't none of them like us over here in the United States. So we do not need all of them getting in cahoots with each other. So I don't know what's going on here with this president we have just allowed in. So I'm going to leave that alone for now because I need to talk about things that's really going to get you spiritually provided. You see, the time is near, and I'm going to explain that further as I go along over the next few weeks, but many ministers now are teaching and preaching on revelations, which they didn't used to do at the rate that they're doing now, because the time is near. Now, our time and God's time is two different times, so whatever it is you need to be prepared for it, either way it goes. You need to be prepared. Now, what I have been teaching people is that we've had a number of end-of-the-world predictions. And so far, I've lived through every prediction. And many of you have lived through many of the predictions that the world was coming to the end. Well, but you know someone that didn't make it to whichever prediction you want to come up with. We've had so many dates. Well, the time is going to be more nearer for you than the end of the world as we are understanding it to be, I'll say. I don't know how many end-of-the-world predictions I've lived through, about 5, 6, 7, I don't know. But one of the things that does occur when somebody predicts the end of the world, we have people that get very upset and scared and to the point to where they have heart attacks and stuff like that. That disturbs me too. But anyway, time is of the essence when it comes to your flesh body. I'll say it that way. Now, I may need to introduce myself to a few of you who don't know who I am. My name is Dr. Cheryl Dockery, and I am a non-denominational minister of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why I am non-denominational is because I find that a lot of confusion goes on because of the denominations. The Lord has given me an assignment to prepare people for the court of divine judgment through repentance. And everyone in the sound of my voice right now can prepare yourself for the court of divine judgment, which means that if you're prepared, when you get to the court of divine judgment, you'll have Jesus as your defense attorney, I'll say. If Jesus says, I don't know you, there's none of me in you, or anything like that, you're going to have to deal strictly with the Father, and He does not play. He lets you know that in Genesis, basically. But you're going to have to learn God's laws or relearn them, because they're not in practice. Man-made laws and God's laws are interrelated and interconnected. But man-made laws have a tendency to, I don't know what you want to call it, seduce you into, trick you into, all the things that you can say Satan does, into breaking God's laws. Man-made laws just allow folk to go around doing all kind of stuff. Fornication, idolatry, it's all over the place. Man-made laws allow you to do that. Sometimes that's confusing to people, and they end up on the wrong side of the war. Now, I have to teach God's laws, and he gave me some instructions when he gave me the assignment, which I am very grateful he gave me the assignment, but I didn't want it, and he's aware of that. I've talked to him about that many, many times, but he insists on me continually to do this, so we're going to start off reading from Proverbs 28:9, because in order for you to understand my position and what I have to do, you need to start here. Now, Proverbs 28:9 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." He told me to read this to you. You can turn your ear from hearing what I'm saying. That's on you. He just gave me instructions to shake the dust off my feet. Those ears are closed and eyes are closed, there's nothing I can do about that. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Now, I'm giving this scripture right now because I'm going to talk about a number of things that need to be talked about after I give you this scripture. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Write that down because I'm going to explain to you why that's very important for you to know, because I will be dealing with your spirit body as well as your flesh body. So you need to understand your own, because you have two bodies. Okay, now 1 Timothy, is that what that says there? I think that says 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 9 and 10. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, I wanted to read that because I'm going to try to relate God's laws today and what is of sound doctrine today of God's laws. It's going to be very clear once you understand God's laws. Now, let's go back to Old Testament. For some reason, I want us to do Leviticus chapter 24, verse 22. Let's see, I can't remember why I even wrote that down on my notes. Maybe it'll come to me when I get there. Chapter 24, verse 22. Okay. Ye shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for the one of your own country. For I am the Lord thy God. Now, I see why I wrote that down. We're having some problems in this country with people coming from other places. It doesn't matter. We still have to abide by God's laws in dealing with them. Now, it appears that we're having some problems in that area, and the people of the world are letting you know they don't like it, but I'll get further into that as we go along. Now, okay. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Cheryl. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Well,
what do you have on your mind for today?
What mind? Sometimes it's the workings of a robot. But anyway.
I understand.
Hey, thank you. I want to say to people, who've heard about the Maxine Waters thing. I'm disgusted. I'm sick of these conservatives and these fundamentalists who worry about black people's hair. You know, she has a right to wear a wig. She's getting older now. She has a right to stand up there and say, impeach Trump. But I say to you white folk people, we don't want to talk about the swimming pool and when you get out of it, how your hair smells. I am disgusted with this whole thing. I love Maxine Waters. She's always been there. And to Bill O'Reilly, you finally got caught, huh, with your conservative no good behind. Kickbacks, huh? Payouts. Not you. Not the angel of the conservatives. You got caught? Oh, it's a shame. I have tears. And they're going to catch more of you conservatives in your mess. And we won't talk about this fiasco called an airfield in Syria. You can believe that dear Trump called Putin and told him to move that Syrian Air Force out of there. All they did was bomb rocks. That's all they did in a fuel dump. 59 missiles. One day you might need them. All of this, I mean, what you doing to people's lives and stuff? This is no game, Trump. This is no game. What are you doing? You need to be impeached right now. And the media don't have great media like what Cheryl's on. These ones who just eating it up. Forget it. You about as dumb and stupid as the rest of them up there in that cabinet. Eating the idea of they bombed an airfield with nobody on it. And they said an hour later, the Syrian Air Force was just flying around like nothing's happening. No planes bombed, nothing. And you people talk about Obama. At least he didn't do stupid things like that. And now I guess Putin going to have his turn. Next is his turn so he can play hero.
This country is going to hell in a handbasket.
What is going on here?
And all I can do is tell people for yourself and your loved ones that we make it through this. Because somebody or somebodies have screwed up.
And next thing you know, Sweden, a truck's killing about 80 people over there. Because we're going to go tit for tat. We're going to go for the tit, and here comes ISIS with the tat. They're going to do their thing. I don't know what ISIS wants. I really don't know. And they need to stop doing things in the name of God. Just, you know, if you're going to do your bombing and whatever you're doing, do it. But stop saying Allah, because that's not doing things in the name of God.
You're right.
These countries need to look at themselves, how they're killing people, and don't care. Assad, if you're going to go after somebody, go after him. I mean, he's killed 200,000 of his own people. And yet he lives, this demigod, this devil. Yeah. I remember a time when America just loved dictators. Now they're trying their best to kill them all, except for this last thing. Girl, I'm done.
I can feel your frustration, Mary. I can feel your...
somebody else feels. You know, get on the Democratic Party or somebody who has the paperwork to start it going about impeaching Trump. He needs to be out of there. Because, yeah. It's no telling what's going to happen in the United States next.
Because we need a grassroots lawyer that's be willing to work with people and not be paid. Because we ain't got no money.
Oh, Jesus. You know, like I said, media, you have nothing to be proud of. Some of you people are eating that up. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're fools. Thank you. Thank you for letting me talk.
Thank Bye-bye. You, Mary, for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'll talk to you later. She is quite frustrated, and she's not by herself. A lot of people in this country are frustrated. Now, you're going to have to get your spirit, your inner spirit intact to deal with a lot of the things that are going on. You see, the only war, or the main war we are fighting, is between good and evil. So it's very important for you to keep your armor on. Because if you lose your armor, pretty much everything you do after that, you'll be fighting in Satan's army. Now, God and his angels that work with him are clean and holy spirits. Jesus is a holy, clean spirit. The devil, sometimes Lucifer, Satan, and is referred to in the Bible by many other animals, but we're talking about demons, minions, imps, sprites who are working. Now, sprites are animals. Usually it's cats or dogs or stuff like that are easily influenced because they have a spirit body also. But there are imps, little devils, and sprites. They're all unclean, unholy, evil spirits. Okay, you and I are spirits. We have two bodies, the flesh body and the spirit body. Our spirit body can be influenced by both holy, clean spirits as well as evil, unclean spirits. Your spirit is the intellect of your soul. Now, I'm going to be getting deeper in a lot of the things that I'm talking about now, but you need to hear these words now. Holy and unholy spirits work in the same way, the same manner, through thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. So if you are getting a thought that's evil, it came from evil. And you start doing things because it was suggestive and it was evil, you'll be doing evil. God knows your thoughts and what's in your heart. Satan does not know what's in your heart or your thoughts or in your mind. What he does is he uses various temptations to get you to do something, and he knows that you have sinned. So he will continue to give you that temptation and even more temptations for you to continually sin all day, all night. So he's causing you to sin. Now, God doesn't allow Satan to keep in his books sins that have been repented. This is how Satan will know that you have started a repentance trail. You're going into the body of Christ because of your actions, things that you are doing, which will eliminate some of your sins. If God erases it from his record, he erases it from Satan's record at all at the same time. And Satan can't stand that. He come back and he see that he's lost about 4 or 5 sins. He wants those back. and want to continue on that temptation road where he continue to have you sinning every day, so busy doing his work that you will never repent. Satan, once he finds out that you are repenting your sins, he's going to attack harder, may even send a few more unclean spirits. Unless you are a powerful source, you don't have to worry about heavy hitter demons being sent to get you initially. You have to become somebody way up there. I do know some ministers, I believe, that heavy hitters attempted to get them. Now, see, you have to tell your family members when you are becoming in the body of Christ, because if it's not working for Satan to attack you, Satan is going to attack friends and family. So you have to let them know that if things started happening, they need to get their armor on, be in prayer, because Satan is going to try to attack anyone around you. See, Satan knows that Bible. He knows that Bible inside and out. He knows it so well that he can easily twist them words around and make you think the Bible is saying one thing and it's really saying something else. Make it appear to be true. Stop blaming God for all the bad stuff that's going on here. This is pretty much a message that he gave me to give you. Because he has nothing to do with death. He's not going to stop it if you have invited unclean spirits into your life who are intended to destroy you, your friends, your family, or whoever. He can't stop it. You invited Satan in. You have free will. He can't stop it. You asked for it. When he gave you your free will, it included you taking the free will of working Satan's business, working in Satan's army. Stop blaming God for stuff. You want to call all of the problems that we're having all over the world, fires, floods, hurricanes, typhoons, whatever you want to call them, you know, you want to blame it on a natural catastrophe or God. I want you to keep something in mind. Satan has to do his work through the flesh body. He will work on individuals and prevent them from doing the right thing because he's convinced them there's money in it. Whether it's their money or not, or whether they have to steal it or whatever, embezzle. He convincing them that they could do that. Now, God does not take anything away from you in which he has given you. And the same thing applies to all of his angels, even those that have fallen and turned into demons. Whatever powers they had, they still have them. But it's necessary for them to go in operation through the flesh body. I'm not going to go that deep into it right now, but keep in mind a number of the powers that clean and unclean spirits have are associated with the manipulation of water, fire, wind, and the earth. Even if we have natural catastrophes that just come, let's say, man has already been prepared to not do some things, and Satan has prepared them not to do some things. For example, there are a number of states around this country that have been collecting money from taxpayers to fix certain things, levees, dams, streets is what they're going to concentrate on now. And nothing was ever done. And so now we have money that we didn't follow that should have repaired some of the dams and things like that. Or earthquakes is another one. We should be prepared for some of these things because there are people that are doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing, and I'll deal with the freeway that was built right here in West Oakland. I got a whooping foot because of that freeway. Well, anyway, my father informed me before that freeway that's coming through West Oakland now, and on the Cypress, y'all know which one I'm talking about, that live in Oakland. It wasn't being built properly. I didn't know what he meant. He said some of his friends told him that or something. And he told me, I better not go down there and start twirling on it, because all they had was the pipes. And it looks like the twirl around things on the at the parks, but it was way up high. I was able to climb up there and do some twirls and things. I don't know. I was out of my mind as a child. But my father told me not to go up there. And as soon as he left, I broke and went up there, and he caught me. I got a whooping. But I'm bringing up that it wasn't being built right. And we had an earthquake here in Oakland, and the doggone thing fell down. That's what fell down. Someone was half-stepping in the building of that freeway, cutting costs and putting money in their pockets. And you know what I'm trying to say out there, people. We've already had a lot of sad stories about that. But anyway, that's how unclean spirit works. They'll have you cut costs to put money in your pocket, and years later, there's a catastrophe. Now, I was a little girl when that happened. It did last about 40, 50 years, I suppose. But it so happens that the part that's closer to the West Oakland homes where most African Americans lived, that's the freeway that fell down. Killed a whole bunch of people in that earthquake. Well, see, that's how unclean spirits work. They'll have you doing stuff like that, and all we have to have to happen is a earthquake that should have been able to handle that, a freeway that should have been able to handle, and because it was built in that area going through West Oakland, they did some shortcutting on it. That's how unclean spirits work. When they're dealing with earth, let's call it earth, wind, and fire, water, okay? Floods. We have rivers and levees and everything going crazy. And I'm hearing people from various states say, well, weren't they taking money from us for that? And taxpayers is paying on stuff. And sometimes the money is not being used the way it is supposed to be used. Well, Death is not of God, but he can't stop Satan if you allow him to convince you to do a few things. So quit blaming God for stuff that he didn't have nothing to do with. Okay? He has nothing to do with death. He's the God of life. And that's the position that he's holding now, because he know we have Satan to deal with here. And he's given us the powers to conquer Satan. Satan can't touch you. All you have to do is pray him away. He can't stand to hear holy words. He'll get away from you. The only way God knows you love him and love your neighbor is through the obedience of his laws. Okay? So now, prediction of the end of the world. I touched that a little bit earlier, but my message is to tell people, quit trying to predict the end of the world. Jesus told you only the Father knows when he is going to return. And soon as Jesus returns, we all go into our spirit bodies and return to the Father. Now, those of you who are talking about rapture and all this stuff, you're going to go in your spirit form and return to the Father. No, God will never use a coward to fight in the major wars that have to be fought, even the physical wars. He don't need cowards who are looking to be raptured out without you standing, making a final stand. You're supposed to do that to your death. If you're one of those that want to be raptured out before the final fight, you're going to be. Everyone is. At the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, your physical body is no good. Your flesh body is no good. Your spirit is going to return to the Father, and wherever you are, your position right here on earth is going to be in the same position in paradise, where your spirit is going to wait for the court of divine judgment. Some individuals will be given a chance for more teachings as I'm studying and learning this. But it's only because you didn't have a fair chance in the teaching. No one around you tried to teach you this. But if you were given a fair chance and you chose to ignore what you are hearing, sometimes Satan will block your eyes and ears. You won't hear anything that's going to be beneficial to you. You're going to have to learn how to make sure you keep your helmet of salvation intact, because as soon as that helmet is pierced, it is easy for unclean spirits to blind you and you can't hear the right stuff. They do it. They close your ears for just enough time for them to get you to do what they want you to do, and the next step is usually speaking. You're going to say something evil. And if you move any limb, finger, toe, leg, arm, toward that evil, the rest of your armor falls off. So you are not protected at all. You have invited Satan into your life, and he is the Lord of death. You're going to have to know your position. You're going to have to know what your position is here, because it's going to be the same. We've all been given gifts and talents, but look like we keep looking at other people and want their gifts and talents, and we never put ours into motion. God gave you that for a specific reason. We all have free will. You don't have to do anything. You have a choice. Now, the more you plan your life as well as becoming the body of Christ, you'll end up having more choices than you would normally have. Where we're having a problem is where people have choices, but none of them are good. So they have to take the best choice. Somehow you've allowed the changes in life to get you so far behind in life that you end up homeless, jobless, out there in this condition right now. It's storming, and we have people out there that are hungry. They're going to die out there because it's cold. But we also have to keep in mind some of those homeless people are drug addicts and alcoholics who need assistance. Now, Obamacare can help that. But I don't know if there's any social workers or people going out trying to find out who are the people that are drug addicts and things like that that need help. Now, keep in mind, basically, we are all from drug addicts and alcoholics dating back to the Bible when all that stuff was legal. They would put in, they would put gall in wine that wasn't sweet, the bitter, vinegary type wine wasn't sweet, so they'd put gall in there. Those are drugs, the opiates. Hemlock, mandrake, mushrooms, all of the things that we know that plants can turn into drugs for you. They used them then, and now we have a whole earth full of people that came from alcoholics and drug addicts. Now, I think God tried to let us know that it's not a good idea to be in drugs and alcohol way back there in the Bible from some of the people that were begging out there. They weren't blind or handicapped or anything like that. They were just like the people today, begging for money. It hasn't changed. Everything that is going on today occurred in the Bible as well. So we need to look at our own behavior as people on earth here. And there's only two people I can think of that God didn't want to drink wine. It was Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, not only could he not drink any wine, he couldn't even have the peel of a grape. I think it was letting us know that alcoholism and drug addict and stuff like that can be passed down through the families. So unbeknown to us, some of our family members back there in the Bible were probably drug addicts and alcoholics. And that's probably why we have a problem today. And we have the alcohol companies. When I read the Bible about gall in the wine, the vinegary type wine, the grapes were sour, there were people that were evil. And they were never able to bring about sweet grapes, because there's a certain process you have to go through, and these people didn't want to go through it, so they end up with sour grapes, so they put gall in it. Now, that reminded me of the rot gut wines that they used to bring to the ghetto. Anybody out there remember White Port? Thunderbird? Those were the cheapest wines that you could ever buy. But at the same time, it had a very serious drug effect. All you needed to do is pool some little money together, all of us, because we were doing that in high school and in junior high school, pool our money together, and we were able to go get a fifth of White Port. We do White Port and lemon juice. You know, there was a song, White Port and lemon juice. Well, that was a true song, White Port and lemon juice. And it was cheap, easy to get a teenager or a youngster to become an alcoholic, which they probably already had it in their blood from the ancestors in the Bible, but it was easy to do that. And now, today, we have a lot of drug addicts, alcoholics. It was intended. Even the government had something to do with bringing drugs in the ghetto. They figured that would be the best method to keep us docile, keep us where we are. And if we were dangerous, we would hurt ourselves, not anyone else. Well, that kind of worked. You know, we were conditioned, you know, in a manner to hate self-kind. But in the process, we were traumatized. That's what Helen Davis used to always say on Soul Beat, that we were traumatized and we're still messed up. And every now and then I go back to one of the books I had in college that dealt with the brain and how certain parts of the cerebral cortex, areas of there, that's where your left and right hemispheres are, your left and right brain, sometimes they call it. And each side of your brain has functions, specific functions. Although your brain can do the same thing on both, but certain side things you get better on the left side and certain things on the right side. So what I'm going to do briefly here, right before closing, is read off. I have a drawing here, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it. And then I'll close, but I want African Americans specifically to understand how we were traumatized. We were systematically conditioned to self-destruct. I should have had my dinosaur, because I used to bring out my dinosaur to tell black folks they get ready to be the dinosaur. Well, anyway, I'm going to talk a little bit about the right and left-hand side of the brain. Okay, the right-hand side, it's easy to condition you on the right-hand side, and I think they did that purposely. It deals with your left hand touch, talking about the right hemisphere. It deals with music appreciation, art appreciation, dance, perception, sculpture, and fantasy. Now, we were conditioned more in that area than any others based on what they did and didn't allow us to do. Now, the left hemisphere, it deals with the right hand touch, mathematics, language, science, writing, and logic. Now, both sides of your brain, the left and right hemispheres, work together, are supposed to work together in a way that you wouldn't be missing out on anything. But at any time you're conditioned in a way and are systematically prevented from using, in most cases, the left hemisphere of the brain, and this is what they did to African Americans. We've been traumatized. Right now, we're in the music, art, dance, perception, sculpture, and fantasy. We find we have a large population of African Americans whose writing, language skills, math, and logic is below normal. Below normal, not even average. Below normal. And this is how we lose our children by third grade. They won't be able to read or write if we lose them by third grade. And sometimes it's the teacher's fault, sometimes it's the parents' fault, and sometimes it's both of them. But it is the responsibility of the parent to make sure their children are learning. Even if you don't know how to read or write, you make sure your children know how. I don't understand how people from other countries can come over here, make their children learn real good, and they're speaking fluent English. They haven't been here that long, and we have people that have been in this country since birth, can't read or write. It was set up to be that way. And through the slave process, but see, right now, we're not thinking clearly to understand how we got into the position that we're in. We're at a psychological impasse. We're docile. We were taught to not do anything, just sit back and look at it. And so we have a large population of people. That's exactly what they're doing. Just sitting back and watching. Well, we're going to have work to do, people. If you want this country to be turned around, we may have to impeach Trump. I don't know. But we have so many internal things happening within our own families, it's very difficult for us to deal with anything else. If we're not homeless, some of us are on the verge of getting ready to be homeless. Some are getting ready to lose their jobs because there are going to be more businesses that close down. Even Pepsi said they was getting ready to get rid of some people. They were going to be laying off because of that soda tax, and now they done really messed up with this ad that they did. It just don't make no sense. People aren't thinking. They're not thinking. They're looking at money and allowing unclean spirits to influence them into doing things that are just outright wrong. And they don't see it at that time, possibly, because when Satan wants you to do something for him, he closes your eyes and ears and have your mouth flapping. And the next thing you know, wow, did I say that? Did I do that? And that's basically what Pepsi is saying now. They were wrong. They didn't think this thing out clearly in relationship to everyone, to all the cultures. Because, okay, you know, so they didn't know better, I guess. But anyway, I'm going to close, and I'll be seeing you next week. Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again, I love you.